You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coming up, the mayor of the city of Boston, Marty Walsh, will join us. We'll talk about the curfew, which is underway. Nine cannot be out after 9 p.m. tonight. This is good news, though. Danielle, has the Can Man called into the new show?
I think once maybe we took a call from him. I can't recall.
I don't think he's been at Ken.
He was there live at Bertie Bach's place.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
For Christmas.
Toys
yes,
for Tots Toys drive. For Tots. Okay.
I was thinking about him the other day because what's he doing?
Yeah.
Because most of the redemption centers or spaces are closed.
Well, probably not safe to be out collecting cans for redemption purposes, I would assume, during this time.
Right.
Can?
I have an exclusive YouTube interview from last night from Mick Ossie of YouTube.com.
Yes.
Yep. And also what's getting involved is Janessa Brazil is trying to attempt to spy on Tom Brady.
Okay. Janessa Brazil was the woman that you thought was your girlfriend, but then it turned out she was trying to scam you or something. Is that correct?
Yep, she's changed her life around. Soon after May 4th, she's going to have an attempted assignment to try to take a picture with Tom Brady and Derek Jeter in his mansion.
Oh, okay, excellent. I didn't see that news. This woman is some sort of an Instagram influencer that Cam Man felt.
No, it's a spy. It's a spy,
she's a spy
assignment.
Okay, yes, she's a spy. Right. What are you doing are you collecting cans? Like, what are you doing can you do that safely during this time?
No, it's been shut down.
Okay, I see.
Yeah, but the good news is you have an exclusive interview with Mick Ossie and Mike the Cam Man exclusively after the show. And by the way, Daniel Murr,
yes.
I send you some information about the exclusive interview one-on-one.
Excellent. Okay. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Ken. There he is.
Okay. Take care, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
There we go. Glad we got that. Glad we got that in. Ken Man. A-OK.
Glad Janessa Brazil is no longer a Ghana Gimme Girl.
Has there been a suspension, do we know, or maybe we could ask Mayor Walsh this, of recycling in general? Because my recycling barrel's been sitting outside the house for 4 days. They're not coming for it.
Really?
God, the COVID's really killing us now.
That's right.
I know.
That's right. The impact, Curtis. Think about it.
We now can't use reusable plastic bags, and we have no ability to recycle. It's going to be 100 degrees in a week.
I don't think they stopped recycling during this period. I mean, they're still doing trash pickup. So, yeah.
Well, that's kind of like a contactless delivery, just goes up and in, but like recycling.
No,
like
my guys pull the trash bags out of the barrel.
Are you still composting?
It's black gold, Curtis.
Black gold.
Wiggy just arrived.
Yeah.
Wiggy will be here tomorrow. If you want to be on this morning, you can call 617-779-7937, or you can text on the text line, which is 37937. And we'll be joined very soon by the mayor. Right now, though, we're going to get to what is trending with Ken Laird and John Lund.
Morning 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
By the way, did you see Mayor Marty Walsh's mask? that he debuted?
Yes.
That the, what, is there a fish on that, or what is that? I'm serious. There's fish on it.
I think it was made for him. I thought he said it was made by a city councilor. Oh. Somebody made that mask for him.
It's very stylish.
That, yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah.
Nice.
Yes,
look at you, Marty.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
The fish mask. Captain Fishbeard over there.
Well, looking forward to that coming up. Now, Gronk had a big night last night. Dale is very excited about this, was tweeting out about it last night. He's a big wrestling fan, as you know. WWE, it was a two-night event, right? Gronk was the host, and then he turned into a champion.
Wait a minute. It is. It's Rob Gronkowski's up on the perch. Don't do it, Gronk.
Oh, my God.
Gronk took out everyone. Wait a minute. Gronk is covering Mojo.
No, what the hell is the 24/7 champion?
Can we not call wrestlers champions of anything, please?
Well, also, if you listen to that audio without the play-by-play, it sounds like a video I clicked on once and was really upset about seeing.
Well, they should have got those guys who tackled the guy who was coughing on the produce
Kingston. In Kingston at the
to tag team to tag team with Gronk, but. I mean, he jumped up. He was up pretty high,
15 feet high in the air.
Took everybody in the whole group out with one jump,
including his friend
Mojo.
That's
why he's the champion. He took everybody out with one jump.
One jump.
Yeah,
everyone knows the rules.
That was it.
But how is Rob Gronkowski, whether choreographed or not, jumping 15, 17 feet down onto a pile of dudes less risky than catching a seam ball from Brady?
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Now, Danielle went to school with Todd McShay. Is that right?
That's correct. His locker was right next to mine, class of 95, Swampscott High.
His locker. Well, he was shredding
Jarrett. McShaymer, it's alphabetical, Ken.
Ooh. Shredding Jarrett Stidham on Get Up this morning. Quote, he is not ready. He is not ready to lead the New England Patriots, in my opinion.
Oh.
Maybe he's on your Tua train, Fitzy.
See? Everyone else get on board the Tua train, man. T-O-M becomes T-U-A.
But you were talking about trading Gilmore. Isn't there a massive salary cap hit that's associated with that?
The Patriots would have to absorb a salary cap. They would absorb a certain degree of the salary cap hit, yes, but they would also alleviate a certain degree of salary because he's well paid. I don't want them to move on from Gilmore. The defense is going to carry them or keep them competitive this year. But if it takes trading a solid starter whose value is at its highest, i.e., Joe Tooney or Gilmore, to get a quarterback that I and a few others think could be the answer for the Patriots for a decade or more to come, then sometimes you have to make a bold move. I mean, teams were talking about tanking their entire 2019 season for this kid. He gets hurt. Burrow becomes the presumptive number one. I think he's got it. Some other people don't.
Well, you might as well just trade Stidham, too, then. Aren't you just... You're just tapping out on Stidham, if that's the case. If you're going to trade up and draft Tua.
There are some people that think that propping up Stidham only to then sneak in under cover of night and try to grab somebody like Tua would be a very Patriots kind of move, like when they tried to get Mayfield a couple years ago.
Yeah. 18 days away from the NFL draft, April the 23rd. Patriots picking at 23 in round one. WEI Sox Classics tonight across the Shaw's and Star Market, WEI Red Sox Radio Network, ALDS Game 4 Sox at Yanks. Joe Castiglione on the call. We got to get Joe involved somehow with the morning show, Hillman.
Well, didn't he? He was good enough to do some commentary on Mrs. Castiglione preparing an Italian feast, I think.
Yes, he was.
Do you want to? We should play that coming up. I mean, a lot of these guys, the play-by-play guys, they have nothing to do.
They are struggling.
So Joe gave that a try.
Hey, Jim.
Maybe we can play that coming up.
Whenever you'd like.
All right, and the mayor is now joining us at 9:30. I just got an update from.
Fair enough.
Well, okay. I'm sure he's at home. He's probably not at City Hall, but I got an update. 9:30 is when the mayor will join us.
And this is the Great Hill Morning Show.
So, Curtis, what happened? You asked Joe Castiglione to do something while he was not able to call any Red Sox games?
Yeah, he's still on the payroll, so I said, earn your keep. And so he was having his wife, he was doing play-by-play of his wife's cooking in their kitchen. And they actually had the Flem ball. Will Fleming was there with his wife.
Wait a minute. That doesn't sound responsible. They were there?
No social distancing between Fleming and Castig. How do you think Fleming got the job?
Are they still in Fort Myers?
Yes, they are.
They're still waiting for baseball to resume in Fort Myers or something?
Fleming's birthday, so somehow they were doing like a couple's gathering. Unless they're hunkered down permanently together, I don't know.
They gave us the audio from later in the night. That was not suitable for air, so we couldn't do that. But we have some of Joe Castiglione doing play-by-play of his wife preparing Flem Ball's birthday dinner.
What was she making?
It sounds like an eggplant rollatini.
Oh!
Oh, Greg, you love that.
Oh, yeah, I love eggplant. All right, let's take a listen.
We're here at Fenway South, not at JetBlue, but about 3 miles away, in the kitchen of one Jan Castiglione. Jan and Jen Fleming, Will Fleming's bride, are in the process of making a birthday dinner for Will Fleming, who's enjoying one today. They're making eggplant rollatini. Now, earlier today, we began with yours truly making the tomato sauce. That went pretty smoothly. It's a deep red texture, thick, a lot of tomato paste, some olive oil. It looks very good. Jen and Jan have already cut the eggplant, soaked it, fried it, baked it, and now they're in the process of applying the ricotta cheese, folding the eggplant over, applying the tomato sauce, and then the grated cheese on top. Actually, they're putting mozzarella on top of the eggplant. Inside the eggplant is the ricotta, and they will soon put it in the oven and bake it. And she's making enough, actually, the girls are making enough for the entire neighborhood. It looks very good. The red sauce on the golden eggplant and the white ricotta cheese, which has some specks of greens, some parsley. And this is going to be quite a feast later for Will Fleming's birthday. We'll be back with more action in just a moment.
It doesn't sounds like Joe is not following any kind of social distancing guidelines whatsoever. Is it the whole neighborhood?
Right.
What, are they having everybody over there?
Well, I mean, if it's the four of them and they've been quarantined together all that time, they're obviously growing closer. I think the big takeaway for me, who knew Castigs was a cheese pronunciation hardo?
He's Giada.
Mozzarella. He is. He's baseball's Giada.
Ricotta.
If you listen closely, you can hear Bradford banging on the door trying to get in.
Mozzarella.
Mozzarella ricotta.
That's what this has come to.
Wow, he's now doing he's doing play by play of dinner.
It's only April 6th.
Well, oh, I don't think. I mean, you discussed this during your lead, but you don't think sports resumes for quite some time, Curtis?
No.
Correct.
I mean, judging by everybody's sort of the commentary, is all come to one agreement that if sports resume, it's in an empty stadium. And we are not going to have fans in the stands for a very, very long time. Which is just insane. Our whole world changed because of a bat in China. Like, think about the amount of ramifications that this thing had on the entire world.
Well, when the president was reassuring Roger Goodell that the NFL season can start on time, does that mean without fans in his mind?
I guess. I mean, they're going to do a virtual draft. But I can't envision the NFL agreeing to play in empty stadiums. That just would seem bizarre.
I don't think they...
No, no chance. But the NFL has handled this like the same way almost that China has. Like, they have locked it down. You can't speak out against the league. Life will resume as quickly as possible. Goodell has been a complete authoritarian throughout this entire process. And I'm sure Trump appreciates that. But as to whether or not it's going to work, I mean, it would be, we all want it to, but there's a great chance that it could blow up in his face if they just say, come on down, light up the grill, start up the tailgate, grab your beverages, and then let's all just have a giant immunity party inside the stadium Sunday.
What about the ridiculous suggestion that when it comes to, which, you know, NBA or whatever, that they're all the players are quarantined away and they have to take a test every time before they play a game? I mean, is it? Do you ever see that happening?
I think that's the only way it happens. That makes total sense. You have them all isolated, some island together. You know, every athlete in America in some neutral site isolation.
Well, I mean,
because they'd be so willing to do that.
Oh,
right.
If it meant cash, I mean.
I mean, they're getting their full contracts right now. They're going to dry up pretty quick if they can't play any sort of game that anyone can generate revenue around. I mean, and they'll have to have those rapid tests where you get them in 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't think, oh, well, we're waiting for your test to come back in 6 days. But until then, game on.
Is it at the Laboratory?
Laboratory.
By the way, Trump is saying the Republican convention is going to happen. That's in August with like 50,000 whatever, you know, conventioners.
We all have Jesus' blood.
No contingency plans. It's happening, is what he said over the weekend.
Godwind.
By the way, Greg, I think one thing that we could use to entertain us every day is your food journal. Maybe we do like a nightly show of that to keep people entertained during this COVID-19 pandemic.
I mean, did it surprise you?
Oh, it's great. I don't think this is a full list. Danielle shared it with me during the break. You ready to hear some of this?
Yeah, I'd like to hear this because I've known him for a very long time, so I can judge this pretty accurately, I feel.
It begins Friday at 12:32, leftover parm chicken breast and greens.
Okay, so like the four pieces of mesclun left in the little box that he got from Shaw's. Yep.
Right. Well, that's the recipe that I made from the Barefoot Contessa. I had a leftover.
Right.
So that was my lunch.
And your mood here says jovial.
I didn't put my mood in the food journal.
12:38, five harvest snaps, red lentil crisps.
I have five of those.
Who can only have five of those?
That's
right.
Called he found a sample packet in the back of the cabinet.
I found five of those and I ate them. They were delicious.
Since when do you eat anything lentil based?
I was satiated when I
had
those.
No, you weren't.
Yes, I was.
Stop it. Disingenuous.
Good word.
Those are the vegetable
pandering.
The vegetable crisp things that you could buy. They have the the green bean ones.
Those ones are good. Yeah,
those ones are good.
Yeah, them with the wasabi.
Yeah.
147 did two quick chin ups, then six Annie's organic cheddar cheese smiles.
No, again,
delicious. Those are delicious. I only had six of them.
Is that because you have tiny hands? It was a small handful?
A baker's dozen, if you will, or whatever they call it.
No, that's just half a dozen.
There was six.
Opens a box of Cheez-Its and has
It's a bag.
Six.
It comes in a bag.
All right.
Annie's organic.
I know
they're
them.
Very, very.
I know them well. They're quite tasty.
They're very good. I had six of them. Okay.
4:48.
4:48 p.m. This is Friday.
Yep.
Okay.
Four baked Ruffles cheddar chips dipped in sour cream.
Yep.
Oh my God. How much sour cream? Because that's the breaker. It's four chips, but it was 8 ounce. It was an 8 ounce container of sour
just
cream.
Just a little bit of It didn't have any dip. Recipe any ingredients to make a dip.
You would lie.
So you go right in the sour cream.
No.
This is interesting. 5:29 hangs up with downstairs Joe. 5:30 one glass screwball whiskey.
Great. I wrote everything down. One glass on the rocks. Okay. Yes. What else?
5:45 one handful. Pistachio nuts.
Uh-huh.
Nope.
One handful.
And it's handful?
I have small hands, by the way.
The last food at 7 p.m., I find that highly questionable.
Uh-huh.
7 p.m., Tuscan chicken.
Yes.
Two cutlets, glass two, screwball whiskey.
I made another chicken dish. Yeah. I had some leftover chicken.
Okay.
Which is like gold in this country right now, chicken. Mm-hmm.
Saturday, 9:14 a.m., one screwball whiskey. Oh, I'm sorry. 9:15 Saturday.
That's Curtis's food log.
Yes. Large iced coffee.
Yeah.
One toasted English muffin.
Correct. With
one
butter.
Glass tomato juice.
One glass of
tomato
juice.
What are you, 100?
He loves the tomato juice. Isn't it so weird?
That is odd.
What did you put on the English muffin? You didn't eat it dry.
A dollop.
Kate's butter.
Okay.
No prunes?
That's at night, Ken.
1
he takes those with his probiotics.
Man, you love this Tuscan chicken. 1 p.m., one leftover Tuscan chicken cutlet.
Yes, you have to have the leftovers, Curtis.
That's a lot.
We're in the middle of it. There are people who don't have food.
It's
you
true.
Eat your leftovers.
I think
now
you
he's
have
the
enough.
Champion of the people.
What were you expecting, Curtis? Like one meatloaf?
Yes.
One container hood chocolate chip ice cream.
Mm-hmm. 1:42, one handful of pistachio nuts.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
5:47, this is the biggest lie of them all. Turkey sandwich, baked Lays, and one salted caramel Yasso bar.
Yep.
And that was it for the day.
That's an absolute truth.
There's no way you stopped eating at that time.
You
didn't have one Yasso bar.
And we'll have to get to Sunday later because the mayor is called.
Hand to God.
Mm-hmm.
Hand to God. There's not much on there Sunday. I think I had a bacon, egg, and cheese for breakfast.
Yeah, the hollandaise.
Yeah, the
glass of hollandaise.
Huh?
I love the Yasso.
I know.
Oh, they're so good.
It's hard to eat only one of the Yasso. What's your favorite flavor of the Yasso?
Mint chocolate chip.
Oh, really?
Tight. Really good.
The orange creamsicle one is really good, too. All right. We're waiting for the mayor. He's going
to
join us.
The mayor is talking to Stiz as we speak.
Oh.
There he is.
Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline, it is the mayor of the city of Boston, Marty Walsh. Mr. Mayor, good morning.
Morning, guys. Sorry the delay. I've been on conference calls all morning. I know we'll get into it in a minute, but this next 2 weeks is really, really, really critical here. to try and stop the spread of the virus. I think that, you know, if this weren't serious, we wouldn't be building a hospital at the convention center.
Yeah.
If this weren't serious, you know, the Major League Sports wouldn't be shut down. All big venues would be open. If this wasn't serious, you know, we wouldn't be, the president and the governors across the country and mayors wouldn't be having press conferences every day. This is a really serious issue, and I know everyone knows that, but I just get worried about. I know earlier today I listened to you on the way in. I was on the phone listening to you on the phone, and I don't mind. I love getting razz. I think it's great,
yeah.
But I do think that the mask thing is about people's own safety.
Yeah.
And what we're doing here, and the advisory as far as at night staying in, it's just really to keep people safe. You know, I know personally, I know several people that have COVID-19. And, you know, it can be a really tough, nasty virus. It obviously can take people's lives. We're seeing those numbers play out here in Boston, but bigger numbers in New York and what happened in Italy. And so it's something now for the next 2 weeks, it's within all of our control as individuals to really do everything we can to keep everyone safe. And I think that, you know, today's going to be a beautiful day, and you're absolutely right. People are going to be out and gathering and walking, keeping moving, keeping a distance from each other. If you go out, you know, a couple goes out and they go for a walk, or you and a friend go out for a walk and talking, that's fine. That's, no one's trying to stop that. It's people stopping and talking in large groups and gathering. The sports piece of it, I mean, listen, it's a really tough time. It's going to be 60 today. We're going to have kids out of school. They want to play hockey. They want to play basketball. That's what I would want to do. And really for their own safety and for the safety of their families, we just can't have that right now.
When you say, you're referring to me razzing, I mean,
oh, yeah, you were razzing me this morning. I can't wait till this is over, because I'm going to come on that show for 3 hours and just go at you.
Well, what was I saying? I mean, I try to follow what you guys say.
I'm just giving you a time.
But the question came up about the curfew, and obviously you've been advised that you're not doing this on your own. So you've been advised that this is what to do. I just don't. You know, is that going to lead? Is the 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. going to lead to a 5 p.m. to 6 a.m. or a noon to? I mean, is there?
I hope not. I hope not. I mean, again, these are, as I said in the very beginning of this, we're taking extreme precautions here. And what we're doing is trying to stop the best we can the interaction, so which stops the spread of the virus. I think if everyone, I mean, it's like the parks. I mean, keeping the parks open and having people to walk around is great. But having people play basketball and sports in there isn't good. I mean, we saw it in the Celtics game, Celtics versus, I forget, the Jazz. The player in the Jazz was positive for coronavirus, and there were four teams, I think, they played, and three of the teams that they played in a span of 5 days, players on those teams had coronavirus, so it's, you know, it's a very contagious disease, and it's something or virus, I should say, not disease, very contagious virus that if it can happen to National Basketball League players playing a basketball game, it certainly can happen on the courts in Boston or New York or anywhere in America.
Were there things going on in the city after 9 p.m. that precipitated this curfew?
Well, I think what's concerning me is people are still, from what we're getting reports, people are still gathering, having people over to their houses and you know, trying to socialize in the sense of, you know, just getting together. That can't happen. I mean, that is not healthy for the individuals doing it, and it's certainly not healthy for family members that you're in contact with. So we're requesting that, and see how that works. I think, again, trying to reduce the amount of social connection, physical social connection, if you will, people being together, is what we're trying to do here.
While you guys are focused on this, and you know, as you said earlier, this really important period of time for the city, are you beginning to look at what happens afterwards? And when you look at, you know, certainly from an economic position, that the, you know, people have been crippled, are you guys kind of looking toward the future and what that means for what people can do, and do you have any idea about that?
Yeah, that's a great point. Yesterday, I had a conversation with the governor, and we were talking about a whole host of issues, what we're dealing with right now in front of us immediately. And then as we begin to see the cases go down, how do we return back to life normally? And that obviously will impact the economics. And that's something that we're going to be talking about. I mean, it's still a little too early to be putting plans out there, but we had that conversation yesterday, both him and I and other people are, you know, what is normal? I don't think the normal is going to be what we experience in January and February, or January and early February, where you know, all of a sudden now everything's open and we're back to life. I think there's still a lot of adjustments that have to happen here. You heard Dr. Fauci said yesterday, he potentially said this could be a reoccurring virus. And ultimately what we need to do here is work with our medical providers, and how quickly can they come up with something to basically a medicine you can take if you get the coronavirus. And secondly, how quickly can we get a vaccine out here so we can start to vaccinate people? And there are some other people talking about some therapy with antibodies. And is that an opportunity to make our body basically tolerant to the virus? So there's a lot that's still going to be played out here in the next several months. But right now, right in front of us, it really is about social distancing. And that's, I mean, I think we're going to be, it's going to be into the summer before we start to feel somewhat back to life the way we know it and we want it back. I think that's what, unfortunately, I think that's what we're headed for.
When you say summer, does that end up being July? Does that end up being?
It could be July. It might be August. Hopefully, you know, and when I say that, I don't think we're going to be seeing, I'm in my office right now and I'm looking at Faneuil Hall, and I don't think it's going to be a long time before we see, you know, thousands of people walking around Faneuil Hall again.
Can you clear up the construction thing and whether you and the governor are on the same page with that? We had some callers and texters earlier asking what is going on with construction in the city. Is it shut down? Is it not shut down?
Yeah, you I think one of the cases, yeah, that you talked about when I was listening earlier was a recreational facility being built somewhere.
Yes.
It
was at Austin Prep or whatever.
I believe that is not on the essential construction list for the governor. The governor has for the state an essential and non-essential construction. The essential, I don't have it in front of me, but there's an essential list of that he and the state has deemed essential. Road work is not, again, there's a little difference between what we're doing here in the city and what the state's doing on a statewide basis. But for example, in the city here, you know, we're not building any of our large construction sites aren't moving forward. The only work that's moving forward as far as large construction would be emergency construction or emergency utility construction or bringing power to what will be a building. Other than that, mostly everything is shut down unless it's emergency construction. And if there is a list that on the state website, essential versus non-essential. On small stuff, when I say small stuff, somebody renovating an apartment or fixing a bathroom or painting a house inside, stuff like that, that is small construction. That is allowed under this rule because it's small construction and you can practice social distancing in those particular cases right now. But my feeling on construction, my personal feeling on construction, is that we should shut it all down except for emergency essential work that needs to happen. Because
meaning medical related or something.
Yeah, medical related in hospitals. A lot of hospitals, you know, they often do renovations, and those renovations inside need to keep going because the space that they're renovating will need to come online, hopefully, if we need it moving forward. I think there are some projects, like some transportation projects the state has and some bridge projects that need to move forward because it is about public safety. Some of those need to move forward. But I think overall, if you're out there and you're questioning whether or not you should be open, if you're a contractor or a developer, and I said this yesterday, I would prefer you put safety precautions in place, just because more than likely the owners of those entities are staying home and isolating to keep themselves and their family safe. Meanwhile, we have construction workers going out to work that don't necessarily need to be on the job site. I mean, we have to be careful right now. Right now, we're heading towards a very interesting time where we're going to see over the next couple of weeks these numbers really spike, not just here in Boston and Massachusetts, but around the country. Everyone's talking about the curve, the surge. I mean, that's in the process of happening. In 2 days, we had a 27% increase in positive cases in Boston alone, just in the last 2 days, not including today. So that shows you that more people are being tested, more people are testing positive for it. And 25% of the people that have coronavirus don't even know they have it. They're walking around. That's why we did the masks, and that's why we're doing the suggested curfews, and that's why we're doing the things that we're putting in place.
And you are suggesting that everybody wear a mask, but it should be one that they're making, essentially, not one
unless you can get one. I mean, some people have them, but right now there's a short supply. I mean, I think they'll eventually be masks available to purchase in stores, but I think right now the primary focus has been on because of the slowness, if you will, or the inability of the federal government to get the stockpile down to cities and states we don't have enough masks. There's a shortage in our hospitals and first responders, but as we go forward here, I mean, I know a lot of these companies are mass producing masks now, so eventually they'll be able to be bought. But in the meantime, you can use, if you get somebody can make a homemade mask, or you can use a scarf or a cloth over your face. It's just suggested right now because it really is, you don't know who you're coming in contact with that might be as healthy as you and I right now on this phone having a conversation. We feel great, but we don't know if we've been exposed to the coronavirus and we're not being symptomatic to the coronavirus, which means we might have the coronavirus, but we don't know it. And we're potentially spreading. That's why the gatherings are so dangerous. It's like, you know, you go for a walk, four or five people talking in a circle, you don't keep social distancing, everyone appears to be very healthy, and everyone might be healthy, except for one person could have the coronavirus and don't even know about it. And all of a sudden, there's five people that potentially are infected by it.
Mayor Walsh, the 311 element of this to go narking on people that are congregating feels a little strange to me. You know, I live in South Boston. I'm sure people are going to be out and about this afternoon a little bit because it's going to be a beautiful day and they've been, you know, inside dealing with this for weeks. How do you suggest that works? So if somebody sees a group of 5 to 10 people, they're supposed to call this number and then say,
No. What I said yesterday was, it was a lot of people, and you guys see it on Twitter, like everyone messages me or messages the governor or messages somebody saying that there's larger groups of people congregating. And what I'm saying is if you're concerned about it, then, you know, you can call 311. I mean, we're going to get overwhelmed really quickly today. But what we're asking people to do, I mean, if you know somebody that's congregating, or you're one of the people congregating, just and you're listening today, just think about it. We shouldn't have to deal with 311 calls. I shouldn't have to have the police department going out and telling people, for your own safety, you shouldn't be hanging out at a park. That's just common sense. And the 311 is just an outlet for people to make calls to. I mean, I'd prefer them people not to be calling us and people just following what the suggestions are. You know, everything that we're doing is most of it has been CDC recommended, or it's steps that we might be taking even a little further than the CDC for the safety of the residents of Boston and for the governor's case, Massachusetts.
Are you guys, as a city, are you saying anything to landlords, both commercial and residential, and to banks about easing up on people during this time? I mean, I listen to what you say, and I think it's important that everybody's focused on this. It's also causing great distress for people. So are you guys as a city saying, hey, let's back off on, you know, pressuring people to come up with money that they don't have for this stuff?
Yeah, I've talked to several realtors and landlords, large landlords, and banks, myself personally, and there's not a consistent message across the board, but there is products available. So let me just stick with the banks first. Anybody who is listening that owns a home and you're concerned about paying your mortgage, my recommendation is you contact your bank, because most of them now are coming up with some products that can, not when I say products, some suggestions on, or some easing some of the restrictions to help you get through this time. There's also with credit card companies, I would suggest that you, rather than just not paying the bill, you should call your credit card companies, because a lot of these companies have put procedures in place to help the customer. And if you don't make the call and you wait 3 months, and then 3 months from now you're in trouble and you call the bank, and it, the time frame for you to get the relief that they're talking about or putting together won't be helpful. So that's for landlords. for renters, there was legislation passed last week putting a moratorium on evictions and on foreclosures here in the Commonwealth. What I'll do for you, I'll ask my team to put together a list so at least you have it in front of you so you can maybe tomorrow or the next couple of days read off what the laws are, what the laws are standing. So what's out there for small business help? What's out there for tenant assistant help? What's out there for landlord assistant help? What's out there for unemployment? I'll try and put a sheet together for you and get it to you guys so you have the information. So if anyone calls in or if you want to just pass that information along, it'll be accurate, right on point, and I'd appreciate that.
All right. Because I do think, certainly with everything that you're thinking about, I immediately think of restaurants and bars, and not just because I like to go out and eat, but without some sort of help from the government with regard to these landlords, when we are able to open up, there's not going to be a lot of places left. I mean, people are getting absolutely killed.
No, they are, and it's really sad and tough situation right now. And you know, it kind of trickles down. If you own a building and your tenant on the first floor is a restaurant, and the restaurant has to lay everyone off, and they might be trying to do takeout, but they have two people working in there, and they're not certainly earning any type of revenue as they were when it was open. And the landlord still needs the rent because the landlord doesn't get the rent, the landlord loses his building. So it's it really is a kind of a ripple effect here. But there are, between the stimulus package passed in Washington and the legislation passed at the State House the other day, and some of the programs that we're doing here in the city of Boston, we're trying to figure out just to touch all the bases to make sure that we're able to help as many businesses as possible so nobody falls through the cracks.
All right. So curfew in effect tonight, that goes until May 4th, and that is 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. unless you're
If you have to go to the pharmacy, if you have to go the supermarket, we're encouraging takeout. Obviously, is still open until a lot of restaurants open until 11 doing takeout. If you can get it delivered, that's preferable. But if you have to go out and pick it up, you do. I mean, obviously, there's going to be emergency situations, but we're asking people to really kind of adhere to this. I mean, and really to targeting probably younger people as well. As I mentioned yesterday, I think the number was 45% of the positive cases we have in Boston are millennials. So we're seeing a large increase. We're seeing a large number of people coming back testing positive that are millennials. You have an opportunity, and these are serious cases. You have an opportunity yourself to prevent yourself from being exposed to the coronavirus by taking the precautions that are in front of us. And these aren't easy. I mean, listen, it's hard for all of us. It's hard to stay in your house all day. It's hard to stay in and around your house all day. The one thing I said yesterday, I think I misspoke on that because one of the channels reported that I suggested you exercise at home. That's for older residents. I said to older people. Older people have have a higher risk as far as health risk. So it was kind of like if you could do exercise at home, that'd be great. And if you walk around, please wear a mask, because you do need to get out. You need to get air in your body. There's no question about it. And also, you don't have to go to a destination to go for a walk. There's no reason why people can't walk around their neighborhood. And I think that's the way it was years ago. And walk around the block a couple times or what have you. I think the best you can do that, the better it is.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us, Mr. Mayor. And, whatever. Let us know what the – do you expect it? I mean, we're heading into this two-week period, right? So do you expect anything is going to change with regard to restrictions during that two-week period?
Let me just clarify that two-week period. This two-week period is just talking about the surge, which means that we'll hope that – well, not we, but – I guess the experts are saying to us, this could be the peak, meaning this could be in the next 2 weeks, we could see the highest number of coronavirus cases in Boston, America. Once that 2 week period is over, that means this doesn't end. So as we've been building up to this peak in the last 4 weeks, on the backside of this, as we're going down, we're still going to have to keep restrictions in place because people are still going to be positive for coronavirus, and it's still a contagious disease, a virus, and people can still get it, but it's kind of like the epicenter. that we're kind of going towards. That'll be the maximum use of hospitals, the maximum use of facilities and first responders. And then after that, they're still going to have coronavirus. It's going to be on the backside, but we still, for all intents and purposes, need to keep everything shut down. If you look at Italy claims that they've hit their surge and their curve, but Italy, for the most part, still shut down. And this is a week and a half later after the surge. So we're looking at probably, to be quite honest, a 4 to 6 week, maybe even more, period of what we're experiencing today as far as basically, staying at home, not being able to go to work, at least physically in the space and things like that.
4 to 6 weeks after the 2 weeks or from where we are right now?
Probably after the 2 weeks.
After the two weeks.
And it's very fluid. I mean, all of this stuff changes. I mean, I think back to the beginning of this, canceling the parade was like, a big deal at the time. And then a week later, we're canceling the marathon in school. And a week later, the governor does a stay-at-home order. And a few days later, the president comes out and does something else. And so this is a very fluid situation that literally changes day to day. And I think what people need to look at, don't take any comfort in seeing numbers not growing on a particular day. That doesn't, until we have a consistency of an extended period of time where we see fewer and fewer people being testing positive for coronavirus, that's when we can start to feel a little more comfortable. But until that point, a one-day reduction, the state numbers didn't jump yesterday as high as the day before, but Boston did. So it's kind of, where there's large groups of people living like in cities like Boston and some of our other cities in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, where there's, there's more and more people around there. There's a density of people that's those areas we also got to watch out for.
Yeah. A texter earlier wanted me to apologize on their behalf for calling you an idiot for canceling the parade. So,
I accept your apology. Thank you.
All right. Well, we'll. And is that fish on your mask? We were discussing that earlier. What is that?
I don't know. Hold on. Let me look at it. I'm looking at it right now. I think it's a cod.
It's a cod.
Councilor Nisar Sabi George made the mask, and I grabbed this one, and I realized when I saw it on the front page today of the Herald, I said maybe I probably should have worn. Maybe either EMS or a Shamrock one, but no, the fish is great.
The fish, it's the cod. It's not the bubbling cod.
And I'll tell you, the masks are awkward. Trust me. I mean, it's like we're not used to it, and it's like kind of like we don't want to. It's like we don't want to do it, and nor do I want to walk around with a mask on when I go outside. But it is about safety. It's about keeping me or people who wear masks safe, and also keeping other people safe around us if in case we had the virus that they wouldn't catch it. So I think this is going to be the new norm for a little while. Somebody's going to make a lot of money making these masks.
You look pretty good too. You doing the hair at home? Or I mean, the haircut looks good.
Yeah, it's going to get a little tough now, because it's going to have to be a home trim. I don't know how that's going to look in a couple of weeks. Some of us are fanatical about making sure our hair is short, and some people like long hair. I'm sure, and you're not one of those guys, and I'm not one of those guys.
Yeah. All right, Mr. Mayor, thank you.
All right, Greg, thanks.
All right, there you have the mayor of the city of Boston with an update on the curfew. We will take a break. We'll come back with the crossover next. Any kind of an open letter to the president from Whitesnake, like Tommy Lee of Motley Crue issued an open letter to the president today?
I do not think I can actually even repeat more than half a sentence. I don't know if I should tweet it out.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have the show account do so, Greg. Yeah, It is a work of art.
Uh-huh. The drummer, Tommy Lee?
Yeah. That's right. The guy who rang the boat with his blank? Yeah.
We live in interesting times, as we have said.
I'd like to know what he said.
It's the new normal, Wiggy.
Oh, yeah.
Tommy Lee has some advice for the president. Yes. Okay. So, and I'm sure that he
I mean,
will...
he called A-Rod, so what's... I mean, Tommy Lee, I mean, you can't...
No, he's saying he didn't write it now. I'm seeing this is debunked somewhere.
Oh,
there's a whole thing on Snopes about where this came from.
Uh-oh, so
I'm reading
Snopes.
Into it now. Mm-hmm. So he had attributed it in his post, and it doesn't look like it was edited, to Craig Allen Wilkins, but we don't know if that person wrote it. The initial appearance of this most of this text was in December 2017 in an article by Aldous J. Pennyfarthing, which was a letter written in response to an interview Trump gave to the New York Times in 2017.
Okay. All right. Well, good to know.
I believe Greg's food log was much more accurate.
It's a journal.
Aldous J. Pennyfarthing?
It's a food
How'd
journal.
How'd you do on that food journal?
I mean, these guys are, they don't think I was honest. I was wildly accurate. I wrote down everything. I even wrote down, what do you think I would... First of all,
you should write your mood.
Do you think I'd be next time I do it? I'll write my mood
down.
But
because then that leads us to figuring out how you're really eating.
Do you think I would be not be honest if I was owning up to dipping chips in a sour cream container? I mean,
I feel
like
you're being selectively honest.
Right. Yeah, I was honest.
Can you answer this one question, Greg? You're you know, brilliant radio guy, 30 years, all that.
Yes. 2018.
Why are we allowing takeout after curfew? What is Marty Walsh talking about?
That was a weird thing that the mayor said. Did he say that?
Yes, he said
that.
He did, right?
He said restaurants can stay open with takeout until 11 p.m.
Restaurants can stay open, but they're not allowed to have any customers.
Why even have a curfew? I don't really get that one.
Because it's like recommended.
9 p.m., though. I mean, how many people are really out there at 9 p.m.?
It's not really a curfew, though. I mean, it's...
Another half measure. It's like every day we have a new half measure in Boston.
It's like, do I want to get in the pool? But the pool's kind of cold. I don't want to get in the hot tub. It's too hot in the hot tub. But now I'm just going to put my toe in the hot tub.
Wiggy, hot tub, not a good place to be in right now during these.
Wait a second.
By yourself, I guess.
But don't they tell you to use warm water when you wash your hands in hot water?
Yes. I guess you could wash your hands in
the hot tub.
Hot
water kill the germs?
I guess. I mean, I don't know. Just no hot tub with others, I guess. Okay. Hot tub, solo hot tub.
Hot tubs are not exactly great for social distancing.
And then did he also say that it could be 6 weeks after this two-week period is over? Mm-hmm.
You're looking at another 2 months.
So wait a second.
So that would be 8 months from now, which is – that puts it at June that things would start to get back to somewhat reasonable.
So when we hit the peak on the 16th, then it's 6 weeks from there?
That's what he was saying. Hmm. It's 6 weeks after this two-week period.
Who knows?
And that's if we all keep on the lockdown and make sure that the surge stays here where it is and we don't
push past. And I've always said this. I would say that probably 85% of the people following the rules and doing the social distancing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always going to be that 15-20% of people, but I don't think that's enough to affect the curve and where we're not getting in the right direction. Because I saw like a model or something. You see so many things on social media, but isn't Italy on the downside now?
They said that, but. Both Italy and Spain and France, I believe Dr. Boni said earlier.
Yeah, the deaths are really coming down.
Yes.
I mean, so do we feel then there'll be July 1st, do we feel there'll be any sports? Because I know the president met with all the commissioners, and he said football season is probably a go. But do you think July 1st, maybe basketball, hockey, they're able to finish their postseasons?
I think the NHL.
I think the NHL is a casualty.
The NHL is done. Yeah. Don't you think?
Don't say that. Now, John Shannon, a reporter from Toronto, said possibly Manchester, New Hampshire as a potential neutral site for hockey playoffs if they can reschedule it over the summer.
Vegas and North Dakota.
How about maybe up in Lake Placid? Wouldn't that be kind of iconic if they rallied them around someplace like that if there's still a functional rink?
They ought to do it on that island in Maine where the guys cut your trees down in front of your driveway if you have out-of-state plates. That's the safest place in the country.
So what you're saying is hockey is more up in the air. Is that because of the warm weather and the ice conditions? Or is it just because of the corona in basketball? Do you think basketball starts July 1st?
I think they're both in the same boat. They're going to find a neutral site if they can without fans and try to jam it in
so
July
think it's
and August.
Without fans.
I think
they're going to play at Camp David.
Look at the collective grimace across all of our faces when we say, "Hey, it looks like baseball's got the best chance of coming back first."
But no fans though. It's kind of like, ugh.
I mean,
it
was weird watching the wrestling with Gronk.
Yeah, I was telling Rich that. What's the purpose of even doing that?
I guess it's entertainment. Some people tell me that I can't believe they say this, but They love watching the NASCAR simulation races.
Okay. That's where we are now.
NASCAR when they're not simulating.
I let my two kids split a can of Coke and run around the yard for half an hour. That was more interesting than a NASCAR simulation.
So I think you can't have sports without no fans. It just don't really
double
make
negative.
Sense. Double negative, triple negative. Yeah. I mean, there's no need in having it.
Yeah.
Until I look at it like this, when the restaurant industry kind of opens back up and everything, because if you have sports and the restaurants are open, won't people just go to bars to watch the games?
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
All right. Well.
Get in by 9 tonight, Greg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See you May 4th.
We had 4 hours and 4 minutes today to try to cheer everybody up, and I don't think we were able to.
There's going to be football. Then you have the president.
I'm just going to go. I'm going to run down to the Laboratoire, get my hydrochloroquine,
Z-Pack.
I heard him talking about the Z-Pack.
There are things to celebrate. There are citizens who are taking it in their own hands when it comes to apprehending malicious coffers at supermarkets in Kingston, Massachusetts. Right. You see those guys bundle that dude who was coughing on the produce and everything?
Wow, good for them.
In Kingston? Yeah.
Good for them.
And Danielle, you'll be happy to know at 10:56 yesterday morning,
yes,
Greg had one handful of Doritos and salsa.
Salsa on a Dorito?
It's great.
It's like a nacho.
It's not even close to a nacho.
That's too much.
You don't have to worry about heating anything up.
No.
What are we doing here? It's like mayonnaise on foie gras. What are we doing?
I was going to have some chicken and a biscuit with cheese, but I only had the grated cheese, and it's really difficult to. You can't.
Doesn't hold.
I didn't have. No, I didn't
make
have
chicken and a biscuit nachos in the oven.
I should have done that.
With the shredded cheese.
All right. Okay. Well, Dale and Keith is next. Whatever you guys are talking about, whatever.
Yeah, right, whatever. I mean, what are we really talking about? Anyways?
Yeah, whatever.
Let's circle back May 4th.
Okay. Chaucer and Proust. Finally.
Dale and Keith with Wiggy is next. Thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.